First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can check out a lot of the investigations, other things we've done throughout the years. And while you're there, join our RSS feed and our email list, and we will send everything direct to your inbox. Yes, save you the trouble even looking us up. We will send everything direct to your inbox online. And that way you're never without anything we've got going. I tell you, there's always a lot going on. Looks like Mr. Martin is going to be running late again tonight. Tuesday nights typically are rough for him for some reason. It's a busy day for him at his work. You know, he does own his own business that Barack Obama built for him, so sometimes that does conflict with showtime. So he'll be here shortly, I'm sure. I haven't heard anything different, but we'll get with him when he shows up. In the meantime, a lot going on. We have some new news, breaking news, I guess. WHAS 11 News is reporting that there's been two people shot here in Louisville. Typical day in Louisville anymore. And the 400 block of East Muhammad Ali, apparently it's near the Dosker Manor apartments. There's two people injured. Had gunshot wounds were taken, so we're trying to find out what's going on with that, and we will update you when we get that information. Apparently, you know, this is a daily habit anymore here in Louisville, Kentucky. We have become a shooting range, for lack of a better word. I mean, it really is. It has become so bad here that you just can't go a day without a shooting. Now we have two more, and this isn't the first time we've had trouble near the Dosker Manor apartments. Seems to be a common thread that this particular area at, you know, around the 400 block of East Muhammad Ali has just gotten bad. I mean, that's all there is to it. What do? Apparently nothing. And I tell you, I don't make that claim lightly, because here you've got a situation going on. Now we have, you know, as everybody knows by now, on March the 22nd, we had some serious violence in Louisville. A bunch of thugs, about 200 in total, part of a gang, decided to go on a crime spree and start beating people up and destroying property and all kinds of other things. A couple have been arrested. But I tell you, what makes it disturbing is the reaction from our local officials here, who decided basically that they're not going to do anything. And I say that, and I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. I'm dead serious about this, folks. For lack of a better word, dead serious probably doesn't apply in this situation. But, you know, these guys have done nothing more than have two marches with a bunch of rich white guys going out and marching with the rich white mayor of Louisville to say violence is bad. You know, they are so totally out of step and out of touch and don't have a clue about the poor and the minority children you know, that are victimized by this violence. They don't have a clue about any of this. It's very disturbing. And so their answer was to have a couple of marches. And now we've got other shooting continuing to go on. And there's a big spread today. Louisville officials today, on Tuesday, will launch an event series aimed at finding ways to curb violence among young residents. Now, that sounds like a great deal, doesn't it? They're going to look at ways to find a way to do this. Spread Love Lou, which is Spread Love Louisville, is going to consist of four events in 4 days. The idea is to bring together teenagers from everywhere and you know, get to the heart of the problems here, what we can do to prevent violence from happening. You can go to WFPL.org for this story. As a matter of fact, I'll put it in the chat room right now. And I tell you, it's disturbing because it just shows once again how clueless, these people really are, and I'll get into details on that in just a second. Ed Martin, how are you?
Doing all right, sir. Sorry I'm a few minutes late. Just closed up the shop, so.
Well, I explained to the audience, Tuesdays typically are pretty rough for you to make it on time. That's usually one of your busiest days. And, you know, so I explained it to you.
I tell you, when you're in small business, some days you're running, you know, everybody needs it tomorrow, and life
right.
is good. You can't do anything wrong, you know, except not have 25 hours in a day. But then some days are dead in a doornail. But you know, hey, I'll take it. Man. I'll take the days I got to grind it out a few extra hours as a blessing.
Well, there you go. And you know, so let's take some hours today, though, and let's talk a little bit about this violence before we get into some of these election stories, because this Spread Love Louisville is a plan that's coming out of Louisville Metro officials. Anthony Smith, who's the director of the Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods in Louisville, says that in order to save our community and our young people, an ongoing conversation on violence must exist. And this is the thing. He goes on to say that the more you bring people together and give people voices and give people opportunities, you decrease violence because people feel more connected and engaged in their communities. You know, this is probably one of the most asinine statements and one of the biggest things to prove that we've been right all along, Ed. These guys are so out of touch, they don't have a clue about what the people in the community need, especially in the poorest neighborhoods where violence is a way of life. Would you agree with that?
Well, he was half right. He did say opportunities. And, you know, that to me always gets to the very, very, the core of it. It's opportunities. It's, you know, where are the jobs? Give people voices and using words like love. I don't want to discount those, you know, those intentions, but that's not going to cut it. You know, long, hot summer, bored kids, no money, bored adults, no money, you know, no opportunity, no job, nothing better to do. You give them all the voice and all the love you want. They're going to raise hell. You know, that's, if they don't have a job, if they don't have what they need, and of all, you know, I've always said that, what they need is alternatives. What they need is examples. They need,
but
you know, they need to see people. They need to have jobs in the community. They need to have opportunities, ways to make money, things to do, you know. My kids don't get in trouble. Why? Because they have jobs every summer. Because it's not unreasonable for me to look at them and say, go get a job, because I know somebody, you know, there are people hiring around the house. So it works. My kids don't get in trouble. They don't have time. Works for me. I can.
Well, see, you bring up an excellent point.
I'm a fairly decent, fairly intelligent individual, but had I had long, hot summers with not a damn thing to do and about as much opportunity as there was, you know, anything else, which would be nothing, no opportunity, no money, oh, I'd have probably tore stuff up too.
But you bring up an interesting point, though, Ed, and that's exactly it. You know, you talk about these kids need to go get part-time summer jobs, do things like that, something to occupy their mind. The problem is those jobs aren't there. You know, and as Puma points out in the chat room, you know, this is nothing more than a kumbaya moment. They're sick of kumbaya moments. And ask the question, where are the jobs? You know, maybe the worst guys can work at the 200 jobs at Walmart, but there's 200,000 that need them. You know what I mean? That's a major issue. But here's the thing that really put the final nail in the coffin for me as far as this city having any shot at any chance or anything to even believe that they can curb violence. They decided they were going to do a series of events that is supposed to curb violence among our youth. And here's what they've decided. They're going to do 4 days' worth of events starting tonight. As a matter of fact, the first one started at 6:30 tonight, and that goes on till 9 o'clock. They're going to have DJ Bedrock do a performance at the Metro Hall Theater tonight, and then they're going to screen a movie called B-Boy for Life. Tomorrow night, at the Nucleus on Market Street from 5 to 7, they're going to have poetry reading and live music. They're going to have an art opening. They're going to have an art opening with local artists. You know, May 15th, Thursday night, at the Academy of Shawnee, poetry reading and live music. May 16th, Friday night from 5 to 7, at the steps of Metro Hall, poetry reading and live music. This is the answer. This is how you can relate to our teenage youth and our violent youth and the trouble in the neighborhoods is to have poetry readings and an art show. No, all you're trying to do is showcase the daggone people in this town who aren't the problem, which I think is a good thing if you're looking at a mentor program. But this isn't going to bring the people there. This isn't going to bring our troubled youth there. Who's going to attend it? Nobody's going to be there except the people who aren't any problem anyway, if anybody shows up, because these are basically the poorest kind of event for people to show up anyway. It's ridiculous that this is their answer after all of this time. Do you agree?
Wow. I mean, my kids are kind of artsy, you know. I brought them up right, man. Hendrix, the Beatles, you know, things like that. And
they're into
Jim Morrison, Doors, but they wouldn't go to one of these things unless you threatened to cut off a finger or two.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. So this is their answer to curbing youth violence. This should be an insult. This should be one of the greatest insults of all time to Louisvillians. It really should.
I'm just wondering who in the local government has apparently zero resistance to a sales pitch that some artsy person put on them. I mean, what they need is what they need these kids. You want to get these kids contact Home Depot and maybe find some out-of-work contractors. You know, the city would probably insist on them being union contractors, but, you know, find some people who could, and let's go in and let's do some high-energy stuff, like all these abandoned homes. Let's show these kids how to either rip them down or fix them up, and we'll wear their asses out in the process so they'll go home and go to bed.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, that would be something constructive,
and we'll
right?
And we'll teach them a trade that they can actually go out and think, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm actually halfway decent at demolition or construction. Maybe I'll apply for a job. I've just learned a skill, and I didn't even mean to.
Well, that's exactly it. That's one avenue. I mean, there are so many avenues to go here, but these people think that you're going to curb youth violence by showing every youth violent offender that they could draw a picture of a stick man, and they are worthwhile. You know how many starving artists there are out there? That doesn't address the basic problem of no money, no jobs. You talk to most artists, 90% of all artists are what we call starving artists. They do this craft because they love the work,
yeah,
but they don't make a dime at it. Hell, they live hand
out.
They live
art,
on the street.
Their art only becomes more valuable after they die, you know?
Well, yeah, and again, you want to know who's responsible for this crap? Our mayor, Greg Fisher. That's it. That's the bottom line. This guy is nothing but a silver spoon-fed rich white guy who doesn't have the first clue about what it's like to be in a poor neighborhood and have to live with no options and no opportunity to get ahead and change your life. I mean, is the size of it.
Let's face it, and I don't mean it's a sexist thing, but let's face it. Young boys are more often than not, the problem. And you need to entertain them, and you need to do things that, you know, boys think is cool. You know what? Put me in charge of this. Let's have a forklift driving class. You know,
that's not
drive forklift, but hey, guess what we're doing tonight? We're firing up basically what amount to bulldozers with spears on the front, and we're going to drive them. You know, you might only, you know, whatever. Let's teach these kids, you know, when the road crews are out, let's let these kids tag along. It's like, yeah, okay, when nobody's around, you can get on the steamroller. You know, stuff like that. These are boys, you know. Boys want to mix it up. Boys are into machines and doing things and power. They're gonna go listen to poetry.
But Ed, you know, it sounds good when you talk about the tech stuff. But for the most part, most of these troubled youth are middle school kids. Forklift training isn't gonna do them much good. Giving them a hammer and nails and a 2x4 and teaching them how to work on these houses will. But forklift training isn't gonna do them good. You know,
I'm just saying, anything but poetry. You know, involve machinery, involve physical labor, and it's like challenge them a little bit. And there's so many trades out there. You know, it's like, hey, rather than do that, it's like, you know, once you're a certain age, let's do a mentor program with a machine shop or something like that. There's a dire lack of skilled labor. Like, look, let's get you occupied with stuff. I mean, I'm just looking at it from a guy's standpoint. If you looked at me and said poetry, he's like, oh, no. Mom, I don't want to go. I'll do anything, you know. Don't let me go. But if somebody says, hey, you want to spend the afternoon, you want to go to a machine shop and see what they do, and these dudes are making $25 an hour, you're like, oh, cool. You mean like we get to cut steel with a laser? Yeah, I'm in, you know. You got to reach out to them. You got to find something. You know, you just got to look at it for what it is. These are high energy boys, and I'm going to say a lot of them are probably fairly high intelligence and high functioning and high driven boys.
Listen to me, man.
Yeah, you might get them with football or basketball or something like that, but you know, they get that anytime.
Let's be real here.
Available all the time. But I'm just saying, I'm with you. It's just, I mean, I can already hear myself at age 15. Oh, Mom, please, I'll do anything. Just don't make me go to poetry.
Let's be real here. You could take any of these kids today. You could take any of these kids today and give them a math problem on a piece of paper, and they would struggle with it. It, you know, you could do a word problem that says if a bushel of corn costs $100 per bushel, you know, how much does it cost total for two bushels of corn? The obvious answer is $200. They can't figure that out because it's a word problem. But you go to one of these daggone thugs on the street, and you say, hey, man, you know, you've got a guy that has two half quarters. How much is that going to cost you? Well, that's $70, man. A half quarter weed is $35 times two. That's $70. They understand the math. There's nothing dumb about these guys. Okay? I agree with you 100% on that statement. They're very intelligent. The problem is we're not doing right things the right way to bring that intelligence out to them so that they can make better choices, because we continue allowing these neighborhoods to decline. We continue ignoring the reality of what we're at. And this asinine plan by this mayor, and thanks to WFPL for putting that story out, but this asinine plan by this mayor to have 4 days of events filled with poetry reading and live music and a bunch of starving artists who don't have a dime to their name is insulting for the people of Louisville. This is the Democratic leadership that you continue to elect. For the West End Louisville residents, get your head out of your ass. This is what they're giving you for all of your loyalty and dedication for decades. It's pathetic. We do need to move on, though, Ed. I know it's crazy, and I appreciate that, but we do, believe it or not, have some other stuff we need to get into. We're going to get into a little bit of the minimum wage in just a second. However, you know, we focused last night on most of the local races. There's not really a lot of House races the primary to worry about at this time, but we do have some races that we kind of want to talk into. You know, one of those really to me is probably one of the biggest, and that's putting Tea Party favorite Phil Moffitt against establishment Shelley former GOP Jefferson County Chairwoman Shelley May, you know, in their state house race. This could be an interesting contest. This is probably one of the best state house races we're going to have in a primary this year, and I tell you why, because it is going to let us know what the Tea Party, how important the Tea Party is, in at least in Louisville, Kentucky, with this race. Would you agree?
Well, I would. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, put Phil in as a Tea Party candidate. I mean, granted, he's not an establishment candidate, but he's
well, he does have the backing of the Tea Party.
Tea Party, in my mind. I mean, Phil is to me, more of an innovative candidate who wants to go out to Frankfurt and kick some shins and try some new things. And it's not always, you know, Tea Party related. It's not always the hardcore tea. I mean, Phil is not against taxes, but he's definitely for tax reform and fundamental tax reform if he can get it. So I actually, being a business person, I like the fact that Phil is targeting tax reform and targeting the pension, you know, because that, as a business person, every time we hear about the pension going up, yeah, the deficit going up and everything else and the shortfalls being there, to me, that's just like, well, and all my options are open in case I have to move out of the state when the state finally decides that they're going to have to stick it to small business in order to pay for the pension. So, I mean, he's a conservative, but I wouldn't classify Phil as an out-and-out Tea Party conservative. A little bit anti-establishment.
Well, you have to mention Tea Party when you mention Phil. Phil identified as a Tea Party conservative when he ran for governor of the state, so he's going to be labeled with that no matter what. He identified that way. The Tea Party is involved in his campaign for the state house seat, so, you know, even if you don't want to classify him as a Tea Partier in the traditional sense, the Tea Party claims Phil Moffitt is one of their own. He was willing to take that identification since the time he ran for governor, and to be honest with you, he did a hell of a job on only $140,000, and these guys were spending millions. It was incredible that he did as well as he did on that kind of money. So Phil is, you know, for all intents and purposes, he is the Tea Party candidate in the 32nd District State House race. His opponent, Shelley May, is the former GOP Jefferson County chairwoman. Now, we both know that our good friend Dale Gillespie, Dale the Truth, who runs his own show here on Thursday nights right here on the network, the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show, you know, he is not a fan of establishment or Shelley May at all. He can't stand her. However, You know, when I look at these two candidates, I think this is going to be a close race no matter what. I personally like Shelley May on a personal level, and I think that the establishment connections that she have, that she has in Kentucky right now, will make this race either slightly in her favor or at least make this an awful tight race. And this is what I want to see from the Tea Party. I want to see if Phil Moffitt can win this race with the Tea Party support. If so, then I think it reinforces Dale the Truth's idea that he keeps telling us the Tea Party is more relevant today than ever. What do you think about that analogy?
Well, Shelley's got more money, and like you said, she's got more establishment connections. She's basically been working on it for quite a bit longer as far as building, you know, those connections. I like Shelley, but I'm really hoping that Phil wins, and not so much for the Tea Party per se, but because thus far Phil is the one that's putting more concrete ideas up there, more innovative ideas. And, you know, me, I would just like to see ideas win over political connections and fundraising for a change. I really, you know, nothing against Shelley, but you start to lose me when it's been said that, oh, you know, she's raised over twice as much money as Phil. It's like, okay, that in my book is not a good thing. And then when it comes to the interviews and stuff that have been following, Shelley hasn't been one, she's not been one to square off against Phil up to this point. You know, they've had joint invitations and he's been unavailable, you know. So Phil, to me, it seems like he's raring to go anytime, any place, and he's got some new ideas. So, again, whether it's Tea Party or not, I see it more as an innovative, slightly anti-establishment candidate against a clearly, you know, connected and favorite daughter of the establishment type candidate.
Well, I look at this race, and really, truthfully, it's interesting because I also, you know, as I told you later, told the audience last night, you know, I will check out multiple sources and everything else, and I'll do my own research on candidates and things like that. But I always look at the Courier-Journal because I know they're going to endorse Democrats in the general election. But I wanted to see how they classified this race because of this Republican primary. And I've got more on this race in a second I want to get with you about. But it's interesting because they go on in this and they continue to talk about the contrasting histories of Shelley May and Phil Moffitt. And there are some contrasting personal histories and their rise to this level. You know, but they have to point, they have to go further than that. This is a state house race. This is not a federal election. This is not anything that's going to involve the Supreme Court. This is a state house race. So they want to sit here and talk about how their differences between Shelley May and Phil Moffitt on the issues are very negligible. And they back that up by saying both are conservatives who are pro-life, pro-gun rights, pro-business. Well, gee, there's the divisive issues again. What could either one of them do in a state house that's going to affect pro-life, pro-gun rights, or pro-business that isn't already going on at the Supreme Court level or already been decided? So those kind of things, that's just a play there. I personally like both these candidates. I consider Phil Moffitt a friend. I consider Shelley May a friend. And, you know, I hate to see them facing off against each other because I think they're both two good quality candidates in the 32nd State House. I have to admit that freely. But I do believe that, you know, we're going to see what the Tea Party is all about in this particular state house race because the Louisville Tea Party, as we talked about a few weeks ago, you know, I actually attended one of their events and did a live call-in for Dale the Truth on his show from that event, and I was dismally disappointed in the enthusiasm. And the crowd itself, it was the same faces I've always seen. There wasn't any new blood there. So I'm curious to see how this is going to play out in this election from the Tea Party perspective anyway. Yeah, there's one other thing here that really bothers me about this race right now, and I tell you why. You know who our Miss Kentucky is, Ashley Miller, right?
Yeah.
I think Ashley Miller is a pretty good piece of work. I really, really do. You know, here's a woman who was born and raised in the West End. You know, poverty, drug abuse, violence, everything that we were talking about at the start of this show, She was around, and she saved herself. She decided at a very young age that she wanted to break this cycle of poverty and be an inspiration, you know, as an African-American woman. And she's done very well at that. She went through school with student loans, worked part-time, all kinds of things. But she has decided to put herself in the ring as a Democrat running for the 32nd State House seat without a primary opponent. So what I found interesting today was the fact that the Courier Journal, who typically doesn't allow op-ed pieces from candidates for office, decided to let Ashley Miller.
Yeah. Well, at least not candidates who are not actually being primaried or being run against.
Right. Well, right. Exactly. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
But Ashley Miller has no primary, no opponent, nothing to worry about until after May the 20th. Election when she finds out who her Republican opponent is going to be. And I'm very shocked because the Courier Journal allowed Ashley Miller to put an op-ed in there in their paper at the same time they're talking about this 32nd House seat with the Republican primary and doing their job there. They allow her to put an op-ed piece in there to tell the whole world why she's running for 32nd District. That's actually the title of it. And allows her to go on about her achievements, why she's running, all the typical stuff you expect to see when she's in an election. So if you think the Courier Journal, once again, doesn't have their own bias and their own agenda, I've never seen them allow this for any other candidate. Have you?
No. I mean, Brooks Wicker, love him or hate him, Brooks Wicker was out last year in a federal race. And because he didn't have, that was the Courier Journal's, that was a much larger race. It was a Kentucky 3rd Congressional District, and he was effectively shut out to the point that they did not interview him. They just said, well, we can get everything we need from his website. You know, they would take a major candidate like that, a major candidate, you know, and of course, I saw a response where Joe Gerns is saying, oh, you know, well, she's raised money and stuff, and, you know, I've got it in writing. A Courier Journal bases relevance on how much money you have. I mean, all the hand-wringing over money in politics, they can kiss my ass because they base relevance and the seriousness of a candidacy on how much money you have. So, because he's raised some money. But, yeah, I mean, there have been 10 moments. My God. Guy by some measures, although not so, but, you know, he made waves in the state treasurer's race on a shoestring budget. And Courier Journals ignored him as well. I mean, it just amazes me. If you're a Democrat and you don't have a primary and you don't have an opponent and you're going to be on the ticket and you're not running a race, you get the FaceTime up front. I mean, the Courier...
Well, I'll tell you why they did it.
I'm feeling pretty good about not subscribing to it. I mean, if there was, and they're going to go, oh, well, you know, whatever. It's like, no. She's not in a race. She is not a candidate. She will be a candidate at the close of the Republican primary, but she is not in a race. There's no contestant, but, and she sounds like a wonderful person, but you know, there's, To be able to step in and try to steal the limelight from people who are out doing footwork and spending money and debating issues and are actually actively in a campaign, it's like the Courier saying, here, you know, don't let them steal your thunder. Here, we'll let you run your own op-ed, which, you know, you say op-ed, I say ad. You can run an unpaid advertisement. You know, you don't have to pay for this advertisement in the Courier. We're going to let you have it because, you know, we like you.
Well, there you go. And that's exactly it. And like I said, I'm with you. I don't see anything about Ashley Miller, you know, that would not make her a credible candidate. I mean, she's graduated, you know, she got a BS cum laude in nursing from Berea College. She's got a master's of science at U of L. You know, and she's working on a PhD in nursing as well. She's also a sportscaster on the weekend, on a weekend sports show on AM 1450. I mean, she's well-rounded. She does a lot of volunteer work, all those things. She happens to be a Democrat, and that's why they did it, because she is a Democrat running in a Republican district, the 32nd district. Don't kid yourselves, folks. It's an East End Republican district. So Miss Miller grew up the poor black child in the West End, who now is a rich black woman in the East End, and she wants to run for office in the East End. That's fine. That's great. But I'm like you. I've never seen a situation where they have blatantly given this kind of support structure to someone who's not even actively running in a race because she has no opponent. And they did this to try to set the stage to give her early name recognition in the East End with Republican voters, and hoping that you can put her pretty face out there and this Courier-Journal behind her, and they're going to get everybody talking about her early enough to make it a credible race in November. That's the only thing I can think of, and I think that's just something the Courier-Journal should be ashamed of, this type of stuff they're doing. And, you know, I really want to get into a couple of the Senate race. I really actually want to talk about a Senate race as well, but you know what? We're going to take our bottom of the hour break a little bit late, and we get back, we're going to talk just a little bit about Senate races, and there's some new shenanigans going on with the LA Clippers. We'll talk about that too. You listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Yes, you're right back here at the Ed Springsteen Show on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com as well. If you guys are new to the show, you can call us right now at 858-683-1326. Tell us what candidate you support and why. You can also call us at 502-805-0324 if you're in the Louisville area. And for the rest of you guys, you can join us on our live chat. You can sign Facebook or Twitter account as well, and you can be heard there. For you guys who are in a listening queue, there's always a bunch of you. We really appreciate it. Hit the number one on your dial pad. Ed, there's always more and more going on. But one of the interesting things I want to point out, too, is a lot of people think that in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate, The only choice they have is Mitch McConnell or Matt Bevin. That's not true, is it?
No. unfortunately.
Well, and you see, that's another thing that I don't like about mainstream media. They don't mention other candidates. There's actually five Republicans registered to run in a Republican primary for U.S. Senate. We all know about Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin, but nobody has probably heard these names. Chris Payne, Shauna Sterling, and Brad Kopis. These are three other people that are running for the U.S. Senate in the Republican primary. So you've got a total of five people there to choose from. Now, how are these three going to play out for votes? Are they going to be so-called vote splitters that make the vote go one way or the other? How many of these guys were planted there by Mitch McConnell or Matt Bevin to split the vote? Who knows? But you do have more than two choices. And we had the same thing in the Democratic primary. Everybody thinks that Allison Lunigan Grimes is basically running unopposed. Well, with one of these guys, she may as well be. His name is Burrell Charles Farnsley. This guy runs, puts his name on a ballot everywhere. He's a complete nut job. I can't even believe he would get one vote from anybody. But there's actually four people in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate as well. Gregory Brent Electy, Tom Rechtenwald, and, of course, the aforementioned Burrell Charles Farnsley. You know, why is it that the mainstream media doesn't at least mention these people, even in passing, to let the world know that these are legitimate primaries, that there's more than one or two candidates to look at?
I'm actually torn on this issue. I think one of the reasons is having been a third-party candidate myself, and you look at the way that the ballot access is set up for the major parties. Two signatures and a check and you're in, pretty much. So the threshold is so low. I can see where they could look at it and says, okay, so, yeah, somebody wanted to have a good time. They want to put something on their resume. They want to pay the price of admission. Yeah, it's worth whatever, the $500 to get on KET and have some fun, man. Show it to your grandkids, I guess, because the threshold is so low. So, you'd think, given all the fluff these days, and especially with things, you know, all the fluff that you get on broadcast media, all the fact that the Courier Journal obviously doesn't have enough substance, that the paper, it's the incredible shrinking paper, you know, it keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You think that they at least sit down and say, hey, look, you've got somebody who's going to sit there and who's willing to lay it on the line with, you know, some credibility as to, give you a story to write. It's there. You don't have to work for it. Ask them some questions and roll with it. I don't know. They just, as I've said, I've actually got it in writing and I've had it said to me numerous times before that they, being mainstream media, they base relevance on how much money you're going to spend. I guess in part being that they hope you spend some of the money with them.
Well, let's look at the reality here, though. I mean, I understand costs are a factor. But you're also talking about basically 10 words and three punctuation marks. That's it, within a whole article. Also running are Gregory Brent Leike, Tom Rechtenwald, and Burrell Charles Farnsley, period. An honorable mention. I mean, they'll mention the word cockfighting 10 times in one article about Matt Bevin or Allison Lunigan Grimes or Mitch McConnell, you know, but they can't take 10 words to put the names of these other people out there. That's disturbing to me. And that is really one of the biggest problems.
Yeah,
and I understand.
And like I said, a cell phone nowadays, it's not even a long-distance phone call. Just call the guys up, ask them a series of questions, and print it. What the hell? They might say something either really brilliant or really, really stupid, you know, something that might get picked up by the AP or something, you know, had that feather in your cap if you're a reporter. Just call somebody, make some small talk with them, lob a few questions at them, and you know what? pull up a 3x5 article, whatever. It's just, you know, lazy bastards.
Well, see, and I don't think it's really even that. I mean, I know you're right. They are lazy bastards. I don't disagree with that at all. But I'm just saying, though, in general, because when you look at this, you know, you made a distinction to third-party candidates. You mentioned that specifically. You know, and third-party candidates do not ever get equal opportunity or equal coverage or anything else, and neither do independents. You know, and it's fascinating because in 2006 when I ran for mayor, they wouldn't give me the play. They wouldn't give me the time of day until one small thing happened. The one thing that I do like about WDRB and the one thing that I love about Wave 3 is they always allow citizens to come in and do their own editorial. And Bill Lamb, at that time, I had a lot of respect for Bill Lamb because he was an open-minded guy. But Bill Lamb, during that election, did one of his point of view segments and pointed out that I basically had the right to be heard. Now, of course, he changed his mind later because he said Jackie Green didn't have the right to be heard when he ran for mayor. But in 2006, that was Bill Lamb. And Bill Lamb put that out. All of a sudden, WOKY included me in their interview process. Then you had Mark Heber come along with Channel 11. Then all of a sudden, the two main televised debates included me. I was invited to be a participant, even though I'd been left out of every other debate to that point. So, you know, there was a thing there. But I really think it comes down to egos and protectionism. That's what the mainstream does, because it's not about the third-party candidate anymore, and I think this is a clear example of that. You've got five candidates who are part of the two-party system, a Republican candidate running in a primary, but three of them get no mention. You've got four candidates running as a two-party system candidate in a Democratic primary, and three of them get no mention. So this is protectionism of the insider elite good old boys club that includes Allison Leonard and Grimes, is it not?
Well, I think it is protectionism. And like I said, it just amazes me that it's almost like the papers are either too lazy or they're too arrogant. You know, it's like, who are you? Mm-hmm. So you know, who are you that we should pay attention to you? Mm-hmm. Like I said, it amazes me that it's the way effective businesses are run. I mean, like I said, you just never know when that stroke of brilliance is going to come, and they just, to me, it's still them being lazy. There they look at it and they say, who has the most money? Who already has the most money? Who already has the biggest name recognition? Well, we'll just side with the popular kids. You know, never hearing out. You know, it amazes. And sometimes I look at it, it's like, well, maybe the media is. Maybe they don't understand the power that they have. It's like, you know, look, if you give a couple of these smaller candidates the time of day, they might say something, they might do something that blows your socks off. If they could just get a little traction, you know, and then you would be the person who could, you know, in theory, change the course of political history by giving somebody a nod every once in a while. But instead, the papers and the media, they're a bunch of lazy bastards. They divide into two sides. It's like, okay, let's just go with the two popular kids and call it a day. That's safe.
Well, and you do make history, because that's exactly what happened with me in 2006 when that door was cracked open just a little bit and I was given a chance to speak my mind. All of a sudden they found out, wow, this guy's credible. We can't shut him up on his credibility. So, you know, then all of a sudden you started getting backlash because I had thousands of people contacting the media saying, you guys are screwing up. This guy deserves opportunity, just like Bill Lamb had done. And I still thank him for that point of view, even though I disagree with him more today than ever. But, you know, it was that situation that created that crack. And what I was hoping was it would change history, that other outsiders would be involved in the system, you know, would be included in the system of elections. But unfortunately, it didn't go that way. But outsiders can make a difference. Because I tell you, you know, before then, you know, I've been successful at everything I've ever done. I mean, you go all the way back to high school and all these different things. I believe it or not, folks, I used to be a very low-key kind of guy. I love to talk to people, you know, one-on-one, two-on-one, things like that. But to get up and do public speaking and things like that, I was one of the scaredest guys in the world. And it was really hard to overcome going into that election, believe it or not, even though it's been just a short time ago. But, you know, I was always elected. I was elected president of the student council, president of my music groups, president of the different clubs and everything else I was involved in. With competition from the rock crowd is what we used to call them, you know, the guys that everybody knew and everything else. I was a low-key guy, but I won every election. So, you know, you can make a difference. And as far as altering history, that race in 2006 altered my personal history. Now I am a voice for over 100,000 people each and every month. I am a voice. I don't mind public speaking. I get involved. I get engaged. So it changed me as a person. You know, why is it the mainstream media can't acquiesce and finally say, you know what, our egos and our protectionism are what's destroying our community that we report on. We have to be inclusive to all in order to benefit, and they'll benefit their bottom line. Courier Journal, if they were inclusive to all, they wouldn't be losing readership, you know. And once that mindset started, and everybody started coming more and more to the Internet because of the way that the daily newspapers and these other news sources were handling things and not being inclusive, then it screwed up their history too, didn't it?
Well, yeah. And again, to me, I think it's just sheer laziness. You know, some people say ego. I think they're just lazy. I think they are phenomenally lazy. I think because if they had an ego, if I had a paper and I had an ego, you know, as some people think the mainstream media does, my reaction would be, it'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do lip service. But you know what? I would be the guy that sits there and looks at them and says, but I'm going to hear these other guys out, because if one of them rings my bell and one of them has something to say, if I had an ego, you know, I would say,
sure,
I'm going to make a candidate out of him.
Sure, you know, and that's it.
Because
so, you know,
I have an audience. I'm going to give this guy my audience, and I'm going to show you what kind of power I have. But
Well, at one time, the Courier Journal had that kind of a power. They don't anymore. They have no power anymore because we all know better, you know, and it's only because of their own arrogance, their egotistical attitude that has created a downfall of those like the Courier Journal, the Gannett organization, and newspapers in general. You know, but there's one story I want to get real quick, Ed, before we get into closing arguments or closing thoughts like we usually do every night. This is an interesting one because last week we talked about the saga surrounding the Los Angeles Clippers. And Donald Sterling's comments and how the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver had fined Donald Sterling $2.5 million, banned him from life from the league, and has been trying to get, it takes 75% of the team owners to force Donald Sterling to sell the franchise. Everybody thinks it was the right thing to do to come down on him hard. I probably am not any different. I believe that too, but I don't see how the NBA has the right to force him to sell his business. Well, we talked about a potential lawsuit by Donald Sterling if they tried to make him sell it, and I thought that lawsuit had merit. Well, today there's another side of this that I hadn't thought about or discussed, because and you're going to love this, and I want your thoughts on this. But Shelley Sterling, the wife of Donald Sterling, is co-owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. She has a 50% stake of that team. And she went on record with the Today Show and said that the NBA is sexist by trying to force her to sell her part of the team. I think I agree with that, because she goes on to say that if an owner's wife had said the same thing, would that owner be asked to leave the NBA, or would they say, well, she's only the wife? She owns 50% of this team. Should she be forced, or can she be forced, to sell her ownership in this? I don't think so. Go ahead.
I don't think so either. I mean, if it's not just, you know, marital property, and that's what she's basing her 50% ownership on, then I think I'm going to have a hard time getting her to sell. It just, you know, I don't think I'm going to have a hard time getting Sterling himself to sell, you know, unless he signed something way back when he owned the Clippers and they weren't worth any money. But, you know, whatever. A bunch of rich people pissing and moaning about it. You know, it's like, oh, if you sell it, you're only going to rake in however many hundreds of millions of dollars. Life sucks, right? But hey, it's fun to watch. But when I hear Donald Sterling's wife, I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. Wasn't it Donald Sterling's girlfriend that kind of blew the whistle? Wait a minute. And you stop and think, oh, wait. It's California. Okay, forget it.
Well, you bring up an interesting dynamic here, though. You said she really owns 50%, or if it's part of the marital assets. In California, that's not a distinction anyway, because in California, it's equal disbursement of property unless there's a prenup. Clearly, there's no prenup. So it doesn't matter whether she physically bought 50% of that team or not. She physically owns 50% of that team because of the marriage. If they were to split up tomorrow and get divorced, she still has 50% of that team. So that is a distinction that I don't think is relevant here. And you know, I'm with you. The comedy here is the fact that his wife owns 50% of the team, and she's griping about something that his girlfriend, a situation his girlfriend put him in. But it really is interesting here. You know, she's talked before about she believes that her husband has dementia. I don't think many people would really argue with that. But then she asks another question, too. She goes, you know, why am I the victim when he's the perpetrator? If somebody kills another person, does the wife have to stand trial for that killing, too? And it makes sense. If I was to go out and kill somebody, should my wife go on trial for the murder? Is she responsible for my actions? No, she's not. So why should she be forced to be responsible for his actions? Just because they happen to co-own this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, she has. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, and the nature of her ownership is important, I think. If, again, it's California law, so who knows? But yeah, again, I can't begin to tell to describe how little I actually care. Yeah.
Right.
Rich people running off at the mouth, openly having affairs on each other, you know, deluded girlfriends that think they can be the president of the United States, and they're all filthy, stinking rich, and pissing and moaning about it. I don't care.
I agree. I just thought it was really interesting dynamic to that situation.
Well, it's a soap opera. But in the meantime, you know, our boys are getting shot at in Afghanistan. So
exactly.
Screw them. Screw the Sterlings. I could care less what happens to them.
Well, exactly. But since we talked about the original story, I thought we had to do the other side of it.
Yeah.
With that in mind, though, we are at the end of the hour, man. Time for final thoughts. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, final thoughts. You know, like I said, not uncommon that we rag on the Courier Journal, and we do it publicly, you know, and I think I know some people at the Courier Journal know we do it, and sometimes that we do it to them. But, you know, when we talk about things like that and you start to think everything from the dot-com sites to the ink, you know, hell, they're printing it anyway kind of sites, one of the other reasons that we didn't touch on is why they're so lazy and they're willing to go with the top couple of candidates in even any given race, and they never move off a dead center, is because we let them. You know, their readership is falling off. Yeah, it's just not that good a paper, so that's market forces. But, you know, the other market force is if people want to, if they want coverage on these third-party candidates, again, email or write or call the Courier Journal and say, hey, you know what, I understand. I see the other day where there were five other candidates. Why don't you give them play? You know, why don't you interview them? Why don't you get off your dead ass and do something? You know, give us some more information. I think if people started doing that en masse and not just canceling their subscriptions and things like that, which, like I said, it's not that great a paper anyway. Don't blame me if you cancel your subscription. But if people start calling in and saying, hey, you know, yeah, we get it that there's major candidates, but we'd also like to read up on what the other candidates have to say. Yeah, might set us up for a good question on, you know, for one of the major candidates. But I think people, this is just another thing where people need to get involved. I mean, the Courier and the other broadcast medias and stuff, they do work for us, actually. And until they know we want to know this stuff, and they're made aware of it, in numbers they can't ignore, they're going to keep ignoring it because they are lazy bastards.
Well, and you're right. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's gotten to the point anymore, and I really look at this as a reflection on society as well, because what you see here is papers like the Courier-Journal are taking guys straight out of college, taking young guys who have spent most of their time on the Internet. They're basically putting stories together based on Internet information anyway, which is what we do. You know, we get a lot of our background from the Internet and things like that. We go to sources that were never available before. And, you know, and if you look a lot, too, you find this word that goes out there quite a bit today called plagiarism. If you notice, the level of the charges of plagiarism, all the way up to even, you know, current Senate candidate Rand, or current Senator Rand Paul, you know, plagiarism is becoming a more and more accepted word in our society because more and more so-called reporters are actually plagiarizing other people's work. It's a sad state of what passes for media today, and it's led by the conglomerate mainstream media networks that do this kind of stuff. That's why it's important for independent people like ourselves and many, many more out there. You know, I am very pleased and very blessed and very thankful that we have over six figures of people who read our email lists, who read our websites at LouisvillePolitics.com or listen to this radio show. You know, tens and tens of thousands of you guys. You know, and that's what makes us do the work. We want to bring you this. We talk about candidates. You know, we try to include all candidates' names. Now, there have been some people, and I need to make sure people understand this right now, too, because I have been asked why we haven't had more candidates on air in this election cycle. This is a rare thing for this show to do that, and I've got to be honest with you because I put my foot in stone. I put my foot down and I set it in stone at the beginning of this election cycle. We always have every candidate on here that wants to get heard, they get heard. We don't care if you're a big-time candidate. We don't care if you're a no-name that's never had any recognition before as a candidate. We want to give that equal voice. But at the same time, we spend a lot of money trying to bring information to you and get this to you. And really what it got down to is you have people out there who are running for office who are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on mainstream media commercials that nobody is looking at, nobody wants to hear, and coming to us for the free media because they want to get heard with us because they know that our over 100,000 people are the ones who are actually voting. So they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars with these mainstream media outlets and not getting a vote out of it instead of spending it here with you, the people who are actively engaged and really want to get involved, instead of spending the money here and letting you get the message that they want to put out so that you can make an informed decision, they want to spend it somewhere else because of the good old boy network. I thought that that wasn't fair to you, and I certainly thought it wasn't fair to us as a business model. So if a candidate wanted to get on air, they were told very quickly, we're going to be fair about giving airtime, but at the same token, we're not going to call this pay-to-play thing, but we expect you to be fair in return and put your ad money where your mouth is so that our listeners have the opportunity to hear your message. They don't want to do that. And if they're not going to do that, I'm not going to give them free airtime. But I will give them the mention of their names. I will tell you guys to Google the candidates. I will tell you where to go to get information. I think that's fair because our job is to inform. That's where we're at. And that's where we're going to stay. You know, for whatever reason. We thank you all for being here. I tell you, it's always a great night when I get to run my mouth in. I tell you what, it's just something about it for me. But Ed, you're off the rest of the week. We'll see you on Monday.
All right, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Folks, thanks for tuning in tonight. We appreciate you too, sir. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night at 7 o'clock where we'll be joined with Dale the Truth. And you can bet the last Wednesday night show before the election, Dale's going to be cocked and loaded and ready to go. So tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, folks, and we'll get into some more of these election stuff for you to gear up for the Tuesday, May 20th primary. Take care. Have a great night.